You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire, and as always, I'm glad you're here. I'm a veteran baseball journalist. I spent 3 years as the Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I have another podcast called Baseball by the Book, and I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. Guys, today we're joined by Adam Pohl. He is the play-by-play announcer for the Bowie Bay Sox, and he's here to talk to us about how Austin Hayes, Ryan Mountcastle, and other Orioles prospects performed for the Bay Sox this year. We're going to get to that interview in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. I want to welcome back to the podcast Adam Pohl. He is the play-by-play man for the Bowie Bay Sox, who, of course, are the Orioles' AA affiliate. Adam was on the podcast prior to the season, and he previewed Bowie for us. And now that the AA season is winding down, I wanted to have him back on to talk about how the season went, how the prospects looked, that sort of thing. So first of all, Adam, could you just give us a sense, for those Orioles fans maybe who haven't been paying a lot of attention to the minors, how did the Bay Sox do this year?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of intrigue in Bowie. Obviously, the Orioles making so many trades at the deadline. And for the Bay Sox, they got half the players. Seven of the 15 players in the deal came to Bowie. And overall, the Bay Sox have had a losing record for the majority of the year. Bowie had a really outstanding lineup to start the season, but starting pitching kind of failed the club in total early. And once Cedric Mullins and a few others went up from the bullpen in the middle points of the season, the team faded a bit, went down to about 10 games below 500. But something that's exciting for Oriole fans is that the Bay Sox are closing in towards 500. I mean, it won't be a playoff season for Bowie, but after the trades, a lot of young talent coming in, the Bay Sox have played winning baseball since the first of the trades, which was the Manny Machado trade, and, of course, four of the five players that the Orioles received in that trade ended up coming to Bowie. So that's obviously a good sign, and the Bay Sox are really, to be honest, a much younger team than they've been in years past because of it.
All right, so let's talk about some of those guys who came over in the Machado trade. I know the headliner, I guess, was Yosiniel Diaz. How did he look in a Bay Sox uniform?
Yeah, you know, Diaz is not hit for the same kind of average that he did at AA Tulsa. Unlike the other players, the other three players that came to Bowie in the trade, Diaz is the only player that had played at the AA level for quite a bit prior to coming to the Orioles organization. If you look at his AA numbers in total, he's only 21 years old, and he's got great numbers as far as on-base percentage. He's been a guy that's hit right around 300. Overall, Diaz has been an inconsistent player in Bowie. He's really flashed. He hits for power. He's got speed. He's got a great arm. In a way, his game has been a little bit immature in this regard. He's made base running mistakes. His solid contact has been a bit inconsistent. Even last night, he dropped a fly ball in right field. There's just been little hiccups here and there. So obviously Diaz is a player that's probably not ready for the big leagues yet. But when he's on, when he shows what he can be, he's a pretty dynamic talent.
All right. Maybe you don't have to go through necessarily every other player in that deal, but how did some of the other guys look?
You know, they all really have shown a little bit. Ryland Bannon, the infielder, has struggled at the plate, but he was named this year's California League MVP. That's the advanced A level that he played in the Dodgers organization. And I think he's a very good defender, very quick, could play second or third. Dean Kramer has probably garnered the most excitement. Kramer's a big strikeout guy. He's got an average fastball, but gets a lot of swings and misses with it. I mean, he's a low 90s guy from the right side that touches the mid-90s. He's got a really good curveball. He's a flyball pitcher that once again, guys just have a tough time squaring him up. So his pitch counts have gotten a little bit elevated, but he's the guy that strikes out more than a batter an inning, has had a low 2 ERA in his 6 or 7 starts with Bowie and has had great success. And Zach Pop is really exciting. It's interesting. He's got a little bit of that Zach Britton look to him from the right side. He's a mid to upper 90s fastball with sink and a slider. So he plays that game, hard-throwing reliever out of the bullpen, and a ballplayer that's, once again, just like Ryland Bannon. Pop and Bannon are two players that were drafted out of college in 2017 that are already at AA. And the Orioles, they drafted 7 collegiate players in 2017, and none of them are at AA. So that says a lot about what they've been able to do early in their careers.
Now, you mentioned, I think you said 7 players from the trades came to the Bay Sox, and you mentioned the 4 for Manny Machado. What about the other 3?
Right, so Dylan Tate was probably the main piece in the Zach Britton deal. He's a very different pitcher than both Dean Kramer and Keegan Aiken, who, of course, has been with the Bay Sox throughout the season, has had an outstanding year. Tate is more of a ground ball pitcher with Bowie. He's not as high of a strikeout guy, but when he's on, he's getting earlier contact, getting it in play, and therefore able to work a little bit deeper into games. He's been hurt in Bowie by the big inning. If you look at it, he's allowed, in 3 of his starts with the Bay Sox, about half his starts, he's allowed more than 3 runs in 1 inning, but in all of those starts, he never allowed even 1 run in any of the other innings. So it's been an interesting start for Tate. He, I believe, is 2-3, ERA right around 5 or so in his short time with the Bay Sox. Kind of like Yusniel Diaz, though, he's a guy that's been in AA a little bit longer. He's the oldest of the players that are here. So Tate's got a good chance of starting next season in AAA, and if he gets off to a good start, I would assume getting his first look from the Orioles pretty soon.
Now, you mentioned Keegan Aiken, and how, I know he's a guy that a lot of Orioles fans are kind of excited about. How did he perform this year? How did he look?
Well, Aiken's had a phenomenal season, and, you know, overall he has been the Bay Sox ace. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Aiken is a 14-game winner. He is starting again here in Akron here in this final week of the season. He's due to start on the final day of the year. The Orioles have not decided yet if he's going to make that start. You're looking at the Bay Sox have been around 26 years, and only one pitcher has ever won 15 games with Bowie in a season, and that was Brad Bergeson. And Aiken, if he does make 2 more starts here at the end of this season, you know, he's got a chance for 16. So he's almost assuredly going to be the Eastern League Pitcher of the Year. That's a major honor to be the AA pitcher of the season in the Eastern League. He'd be the first Bay Sox to do so in a decade. And Zach Lowther's had a great season in Frederick. Aiken is closer to the major league, so there's a really good chance Aiken's going to earn the honor as the Orioles minor league pitcher of the year, the Jim Palmer Award that is given annually. So he's had a phenomenal season. He is a strikeout guy. The big thing about Aiken that's really impressive is that a lot of pitchers go out there trying to fool you, and Aiken's not that guy. I mean, people just don't see his fastball very well. He's a left-hander, low to mid-90s fastball, but there's something about it, whether it's the spin rate, the deception, the arm angle, whatever it is, they don't see it. And he gets a ton of swings and misses with his fastball, and he can throw that pitch 80 or 90% of the time and have great success. So he really pitches like a power pitcher, a very aggressive pitcher, has got that bulldog type of mentality, and he's been the best pitcher in the Orioles minor leagues this year.
Now, a guy like him, realistically, what can we expect from him next year? Do you expect to see him at AAA? When maybe will we see him in Baltimore?
I think Keegan Aiken is, you know, he's still very young, obviously. He's 22 years old, and there's a progression that this takes. But I would be really surprised if he's in Bowie to start next year, as long as he stays healthy and goes into next season strong. He would be a guy that would start the year in Norfolk and more than likely at some point in the season be a starting pitcher with the Orioles. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if you're looking after the All-Star break next season if he's in the Orioles rotation. If he pitches like he has this year, and I'll tell you, he's going to have great success. If he pitches in Norfolk, which is a real pitcher's park, he's a fly ball pitcher, Once again, big strikeout guy, very aggressive pitcher. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he has great success in Norfolk and is pushing early in the season to creep up to Baltimore.
Now, you mentioned Zach Lowther. He's another guy I think Orioles fans have heard about and maybe are interested in. How has his season looked?
So he's in the lower levels of the minors. Lowther has been in Delmarva and Frederick. He's had the best ERA for any pitcher in the Orioles minor leagues. Obviously, this being his first full season, they're kind of minimizing his innings a little bit. But for Lowther, he's a guy that almost assuredly is going to be in the Bay Sox starting rotation next season and spend the majority of the campaign next year in Bowie. Bowie's, when you look towards 2019, obviously we want to talk about 2018, but it's going to have a very intriguing starting rotation with the Bay Sox. When you think about Michael Bauman and Alex Wells that are in Frederick, the possibility of D.L. Hall making it to Bowie maybe late next year. He'll be just 20 years old next season. The Orioles' first-round pick from 2017 that's had a great season in Delmarva. And then, of course, the Bay Sox still with guys like Dean Kramer's not been at the AA level long. He's, of course, we talked about him in the Machado trade. The two guys we didn't talk to about in the trades otherwise are Bruce Zimmerman, who's a left-handed pitcher that was in the Kevin Gausman deal. He's of the Braves organization, and he's made about 10 AA starts this season. So Zimmerman should be in the Bay Sox rotation to start next year. And you put all those guys together, it's going to be really intriguing to see how it all plays out.
All right. Well, a guy who I know Orioles fans are very interested in, and I've been following him in recent weeks, Austin Hayes. Of course, Austin yeah. Hayes had a great year in 2017, ended up in the majors at the end of the year, didn't do so well, returned to AA this year. And I know he dealt with a lot of injuries and some inconsistencies early in the year. He's been back for a while and seemingly is looking pretty good again, isn't he?
You know, he really is. I'm a big Austin Hayes believer. Hayes is a guy, I think at the major league level, he's going to have his fair share of strikeouts, but he's an electric ball player. I mean, he plays like his hair's on fire. He plays, obviously, as Oriole fans know, no batting gloves, tapes up the wrists. He's flying all over the place. And I just think that also had an injury plague start to the year. He missed the majority of spring training because of a shoulder injury, and he didn't look right when he was in Bowie in April, just to be honest. I know the weather was terrible, but his swing, he was so pole heavy. He was hitting right around 200. One time he made a diving catch in Harrisburg, and he came up wincing. Trainer came out. He was trying to shake him off, but he struck out something like six or seven times in the next 10 at-bats after that catch. So he was having trouble with that, and then all of a sudden, he starts having issues with his ankle. He got a cortisone shot finally, and after visiting actually the foot doctor for the Green Bay Packers, of all people, and it minimized the swelling in his ankle around a cyst that had formed there, which is a very unusual injury. And for Hayes, he's been back now, played 17 games in Bowie as we talk, and he's got 17 RBIs. He's hit about 290. And if I just think about the last three games, he's hit two home runs. He showed big-time pull power. He's doubled twice. He hits the ball more consistently hard than just about anybody that's been in Bowie the last two seasons, really alongside Cedric Mullins. And what happens is that Hayes is a guy that can get pull happy. But last night, Akron ends up putting the shift on him for the first time. And in the second at-bat, he just hits a ground ball right to the right side of the infield. I mean, you love to see that kind of approach in offense. And he's going to be a very good defensive outfielder in Baltimore as well because of his speed. He's got a very good arm. And I think that's exciting, too. If you put Mullins, Diaz, and Hayes together, there's some other outfield prospects as well. The Orioles' outfield defense in the future is really going to improve, and that's going to play big dividends for Baltimore. So Hayes is an exciting ball player. I'm really interested to see if the Orioles are going to give him a call-up in September because he's already on the 40-man roster, and he showed here in these 3 weeks or so in Bowie that he's back. So there's no doubt Hayes is going to play in the fall, whether it's in the Arizona Fall League in Baltimore. He might even go down to the winter leagues and play because he missed about half the season this year due to injury.
Well, that brings me sort of my next question about him in terms of what we think his timetable is. like for 2019, would you expect to see him back in Bowie, or are we going to see him in AAA? What do you think the future holds for him in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think with Hayes, there's almost no way he's in Bowie next year. You know, he's 23 years old, which is still on the younger side. The average AA player is 24. But you have to realize, I mean, Hayes was a dominant player in Bowie in 2017. It was a surprise that he was even back in 18. So the reality is that Hayes is going to be more than likely a guy that starts in AAA Norfolk, but really has a chance to push for the bigs. I mean, the clock's already ticking since they called him up last season. So if Hayes has a big spring training, there's no reason why he can't be on the Orioles on opening day 2019.
Now, another guy that I know Orioles fans are very interested in, he is ranked, I think most places, is either the first or second top prospect in the system, and that's Ryan Mountcastle. How has Mountcastle looked this year?
What an impressive season, but especially on the offensive side. I think he is wearing down a little bit here in August. I mean, he's literally played every day since he came off of a broken hand in the second week of May to Bowie. But Mountcastle is a very young ball player. He made it to AA late last season at the age of 20. So a lot of times we look at these guys as apples to apples, but the reality is that Mountcastle would be a ball player just being drafted into pro baseball right now if he played collegiate baseball. And here he is excelling at the AA level as a former first-round supplemental pick. He's hit everywhere he's gone. He was the Carolina League batting champion last season. And before a little bit of a rough patch the last week or two, Mountcastle, he was right in the hunt to win the batting title in the Eastern League as well. But here's the guy, he's hitting around 290. He's been around 300 all season. He hits for some power. That power is only going to increase as he continues to get older and stronger. And I think for Ryan, because he's still so young, he's a guy that will probably start next year and play almost the entire season next year in AAA. And he's a ball player that could be a premier, a big power hitter for the Orioles. And just one of the leading hitters, a middle of the bat kind of guy in the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, obviously, he's a guy that could be a big league ball player in 2019, but when you think about Mountcastle, you got to think about, and really, to be honest, when you think about the Orioles, you got to think about who are going to be the guys that are going to lead this next generation that can make the Orioles a team that can make a splash in the years like 2020, 2021, and make the Orioles a team that can win the American League East in 21 and 22. And Mountcastle is one of those players, no matter if he's a third baseman or a corner outfielder or a first baseman even. I think he's got enough bat to hit at first and be a middle-of-the-order bat for the Orioles in what you would consider the next generation of Orioles baseball.
Yeah, and that leads us to, of course, the big question with Mountcastle. I don't think anybody doubts his hitting ability, but I think the rap on him is that he may not have the defensive ability to play third base long-term. How has he looked defensively this year?
You know, it's interesting. Last year, he looked completely overmatched at third, and this season, he's gotten better. I think that Mountcastle has really put a lot of time and effort into it. It's really interesting, though, because he's still a below-average third baseman at the AA level. So the question is, do you spend so much time working on that aspect of the game, or do you focus even more and let him excel with his bat? That's the great thing, is that even though he struggled at third base, his bat really has not affected his offensive game. He does not have a good arm, obviously, but his arm in the last 6 weeks has shown to be a lot better. Early in the season, almost all of his errors were throwing errors. And really, that hasn't been the case of late. His throws have been a lot better. He's been able to come in and field some bunts and make throws. He's never going to have a great arm. But it's been able to play to make the routine plays here in Bowie. What troubles me a little bit even more is he's not really a rangy guy. I mean, side to side, there's a lot of balls that are base hits this season against the Bay Sox to his glove side left, that you realize that an average or an above average, third baseman, as far as a guy that can move side to side, obviously a Manny Machado, but even going with others, would be able to make that play. So that's going to be interesting to see of where Mountcastle fits in. But my, I guess the way I feel is that with a lot of guys, that would mean that they are not going to be a valuable piece. But I think Mountcastle's bat is so good that he's going to be a really good major league player. And even if he's, let's say he's a first baseman, you know, in two or three years, more than likely the Orioles are going to need a first baseman. So I think that that's not the it's not a negative as far as what he can be for the Orioles as a productive player going forward.
Now, you've touched on September call-ups a couple times, and of course mm-hmm. those are going to be coming soon. We're almost at the almost to September here as we talk. What players on the Bowie roster could we expect to see in Baltimore in September? Do you think there are going to be guys who end up being September call-ups?
You know, it's really interesting because you would think, right, you'd think with the Orioles situation and with the fact that you just got seven guys in the trade, you know, I didn't even talk about Brett Cumberland, the catcher. I mean, there's so many players that have intrigue in Bowie. But the reality is a lot of them are young, right? All these guys, except for Tate, six of the seven guys the Bay Sox got in these trades are 21 or 22 years old. And most of them have very little double-A time, meaning that more than likely they're going to start 2019 in double-A. So even with guys like Dean Kramer and Bruce Zimmerman and Zach Pop that have had a lot of success, and even Yusniel Diaz here in Bowie, you're probably not going to see them in the bigs as a big league call-up in this season, right? It would almost be a surprise, though, if they don't play in the major leagues at all in their careers with the Orioles. So what you're looking at is a guy that we haven't talked about, Brandon Kline. Kline is the Bay Sox closer. He's had a great season between Frederick and Bowie. He's finally healthy. He's missed each of the last 2 years, really the majority of the last three seasons due to an arm injury. He basically had to have a redo of a Tommy John surgery, and Kline is back. You know, a lot of times when guys are injured, when they come back, they're diminished players. But Klein's not. I mean, he's what he was in 2015 in Bowie. He's working as a mid to upper 90s guy, touching 97, 98 as a Bay Sox closer. And he was a second-round pick. I mean, it's hard to believe, but Kevin Gausman and Kline are the same age. You know, Gausman was the first-round pick in 2012 out of college at LSU, and Kline was the second-round pick out of UVA. And he's the highest-drafted player ever from Frederick, Maryland, the second-largest city in our state. And it's going to be a great, great thing if the Orioles call him up. It'll be a great story. And they've got to put him on the 40-man or lose him. So it wouldn't be a surprise to me if that's the guy. If Kline is the guy that's called up, he doesn't have a lot of innings left for what they want to use because he's been injured over the last few years. But I would expect Kline to get the major league call-up. And Hayes is a maybe. I'd love to see it. I think he's played well enough to get that opportunity. But I think those are the two guys right now. There's one other ball player that's a little under the radar in Bowie, a catcher, Martin Cervenka. He's really an excellent defensive catcher. He was selected in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft last year, so he's not a name that most Orioles fans know. He's on the older side. He's a European ball player. Really interesting story. From the Czech Republic, he's developed late. He was probably the first, you know, he ended up not being the catcher of the year in the Eastern League, but he was probably second in that voting. He was an all-star this season in the Eastern League at the midseason all-star game. Cervenka would have to be put on the 40-man roster after this season as well. So he's an interesting guy to watch. But my guess is that Brandon Kline is the player from Bowie that gets a September call-up.
Now, is Kline the kind of player who could see a future in the Orioles bullpen, whether he's a closer or not? Is he a kind of guy who you think has the ability to pitch at the major league level for a while?
There's no doubt about it. In fact, John Mioli of the Baltimore Sun, when he came down to Bowie and saw Kline, he thought that Kline is ahead of players like Evan Phillips, who got a little taste of Baltimore, Cody Carroll, who's been in the Orioles bullpen here of late, because Kline was a starting pitcher. He was a higher drafted player than those. He throws at a similar velocity, but his secondary pitches are more developed. The worry about Kline is that he's been injured so much in the past that you don't want to push him too much, and you want to let him just have a healthy season and then really make a run for the Orioles in 2019. But it would be a surprise to me if Kline doesn't get a taste of Baltimore in September. And then also, if he's not a mainstay in the Orioles bullpen in 2019, because he's an older ball player, once again, being drafted as a junior in college in 2012. And he's a guy, I mean, on and off the field, I mean, he carries himself the right way. He's an incredibly bright guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you root for. The only reason he wasn't an Oriole 2 or 3 years ago is because of injury.
All right, well, Adam, this has been great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Most definitely. Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.